It's cozy season, and nothing compares to wrapping yourself in a Minky Couture blanket. Luxuriously soft, perfectly warm, thoughtfully made. From movie nights to chilly mornings, Minky Couture turns everyday moments into pure comfort. Once you feel it, you'll understand why it's called the original best blanket ever. Visit MinkyCouture.com or a store near you and make this cozy season your softest one yet.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. And we've got a lot of ground to cover. So, we need to talk about the situation in the Senate, which is we're in a very difficult position right now, ladies and gentlemen. And look, this is not something new. Those of you who have followed politics and especially Republican politics for any amount of time know that the Republicans are not exactly the fiercest or most ferocious fighters in America. Now Donald Trump has been doing a phenomenal job in fixing that problem, and we are getting people in Congress who are fighters, and we just don't have enough of them yet. And I think that will change with every single election cycle moving forward. So that is, it's a problem that's going to be resolved. So we're going to be getting rid of the establishment folks, the RINO folks, and we're going to be electing more America First conservatives. Now, here's the issue with that, of course, is the electability factor, because some of these folks in the America First movement are slap crazy nuts. And so you've got to figure out, okay, who is it that's going to be able to represent the values of the America First agenda, that is someone who is electable, somebody who will be able to communicate and connect with the average voters. And it's been sort of hit or miss, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But right now, we've got a pretty serious situation in the Senate. And overnight, a lot of the videos I posted from clips from the Newsmax show have gone viral. We had several folks, several lawmakers on, Tim Burchett, Greg Stube out of Florida, Burchett, by the way, out of Tennessee, and both of those men are just enraged. As a matter of fact, Stube says, you have a right. The American people should be pissed off right now at the Senate Republicans. Now, I want to go back and just revisit briefly where we got here and what I believe needs to happen now, because it is very clear to me what's going on here. You know, President Trump standing before the Republican caucus in Miami, and he put it all on the line. You know, the president really, he was put in a position that he didn't need to be put in. You know, he went off and he rehashed all of the incredible successes of his administration, you know, rattling off all of the dumpster fires that he has extinguished over the past year and a few months. And he reminded them of his promise to make America great again. But then it was that moment when he came to really the most important part of his legacy, of his agenda, which is stopping this outright scandal at the ballot box, where you now have Democrats openly admitting what's really going on here. Why, as a matter of fact, the reason why Homeland Security has not been reopened, the reason why the Democrats are making millions of Americans suffer at airports just simply trying to go on spring break, the reason why they're not reopening Homeland Security is because they want a guarantee. First of all, they wanted Kristi Noem out, so the administration, and hear me on this, capitulated. and said, okay, we're going to fire Kristi Noem, now reopen Homeland Security. And they said, no, now you're going to have to guarantee us that ICE agents will not be allowed to operate anywhere near a polling site. That's the giveaway, ladies and gentlemen, because the Democrats know that the jig is up. The Democrats know that if the Save America Act passes and is put into law, then they will not be able to steal as many elections as they have. Now, Chuck Schumer, little Chucky over at the on the Democrat side of the aisle, here's what he had to say. And again, they're telling us, they're very open about it. They're not hiding this information. Take a listen to Chuck Schumer.
Yes, but their bill isn't voter ID, number one. It is about voter registration. It makes it, it allows ICE to kick tens of billions of people off the rolls, and they don't tell them until election day, and you show up and you say, you're not registered anymore. You're not registered here. You're not on the rolls.
Tens of millions, ladies. You heard it. And they're horrified that ICE agents are going to be at all of these polling locations, and they're either A, they're going to capture all of these illegals who are voting illegally, or number two, that the knowing that there will be ICE agents there, that the illegals just won't show up to vote. Either way, it is a win for the American people. Because when you throw in all of the other shenanigans out there, and I'm not accusing any companies of anything, I'm just telling you that the Democrats have found ways to cheat and win where they should not be winning. So the Democrats know that if the Save America Act is passed and becomes law, it's over for them. It's over. So this is a do or die moment. This is the hill to die on for the Democrats. But understand this. It's not Republican and Democrat in Washington, D.C. This has always been about the uniparty. You know, we call them establishment Republicans or rhinos, Republicans in name only, but they're really not. They're all just one big party. There's Democrats and the Republic. They're all just one big party in Washington, D.C. And every single one of them, has benefited financially from their position that they were elected to. I mean, when you look at there was a survey done, and we'll call this information up after the break. There was a survey done that showed the most millionaires per capita in America in the Washington, D.C. area. And you have to ask yourself, what is going on in Washington, D.C.? Because there's no manufacturing. There's no Silicon Valley. They're just a bunch of lawmakers and lobbyists. There's so much fraud and corruption. So here you have the president, and he's out there having to beg and plead with his own party to get this across the finish line. And the president really did not have to do that. He should not have done that. And quite frankly, it should enrage every single person who voted for the president, because he's going to bat for us. He's going to bat for his children and his grandchildren. Now, the president warned that we risk losing everything if we do not pass the Save America Act. I want you to take a good look at what's happening in New York City right now. Take a look at Dearborn. Take a look at Dearborn, Michigan. Take a look at Paterson, New Jersey. Take a look at what's happening in those cities right now. If we do not secure the ballot box, that's what we become. That's what we become. And the polling data, Democrats, and look, hear me on this. Contrary to what you may be hearing in the legacy media here, most minorities in America support what the president is doing here. I mean, the polling data backs that up. It's an 85-15 issue. It may very well be a 90-10 issue, because everybody sees what's happening here. That when you bring in illegals, when you bring in the Islamist, everybody else gets shoved aside. That's what's happening right now. And this idea that somehow it is racist to ask people to have an ID is nuts. Look, if you want to go to a nightclub, if you want to go to what's the popular club that Dieter used to love to go to, Dylan, in Memphis?
We have tin roof here.
Tin roof. Okay. Did you have to show an ID to get in?
Of course.
Of course. You got to show an ID. You got to show. I've been dealing with the pollen and the allergies. I went over to the Walgreens and got the NyQuil. You know what? Had to show an ID. You want to go shovel snow in New York City? You got to show two forms of ID. 95% of Republicans, 95% of Republicans favor a photo ID to vote. But the Senate Republicans are refusing to budge. And now Senator John Thune is out there saying, first of all, he's saying that all of you people that support the Save America Act are really just paid influencers. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Are any of you being paid right now to support the Save America Act? I can tell you I am the loudest voice on the radio defending the Save America Act, and I can tell you I have not received a single penny from anybody. As a matter of fact, I would consider it to be my patriotic duty to stand up and say, we have got to make sure that only Americans are voting in American elections. Why is that such a bad thing, by the way? Anybody want to explain that? Why is that such a bad thing? But since Leader Thune brought it up, I do have a question for that guy. How much money is he being paid to stop the president's agenda? I think that's the broader question we need to be asking. Because right now, all he's doing is insulting the millions of people that put Donald Trump into office. And by the way, now he says that they just don't have enough time. They don't have enough time. And I want to read this quote to you from Leader Thune. He says, first of all, he goes, we don't have the votes either to proceed, get on a talking filibuster in order to sustain one, even if we got on it. It's about the votes. It's the math. And for better or worse, I'm the one who has to be the clear-eyed realist about what we can achieve here. Last time I checked, the Republicans control the Senate. They have the numbers. We've done the math. So what's really going on here? Well, I believe that the Senate Republicans and the rhinos, the establishment, they're not stupid. They're not. They're conniving. They're manipulators. They're deceivers. They are propagandists. And I believe that they've figured this out, that they actually, at the end of the day, they do wield the power to either slow down or outright stop the president's agenda. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what they've been doing. That's exactly what they've been doing. So the question now is, what happens next? Well, first of all, we need to be inundating. I mean inundating Washington, D.C. with calls. And we don't need to be polite about it anymore. We need to speak our mind. And we need to let them know how outraged. And every single, I don't care if you're in Arkansas or Oregon, I don't care where you live, everybody needs to be calling Senator John Thune's office because he's ultimately the guy responsible. Now, here's where I think we're at and where I think we need to go here. John Thune's got to go. He cannot be the majority leader anymore. He cannot. And we're going to have to demand that our elected leaders, our Republican senators, and there are people like Marsha Blackburn and Mike Lee. There are people like Katie Britt, who, by the way, was viciously smeared by Fox News Channel. Fox News Channel was out there saying that Katie Britt was opposed to the Save America Act, when in fact she's been one of the most ferocious supporters of it. And Fox News had to apologize. Now, understand that John Thune has spent nearly three decades in Washington, D.C., so he is now officially a part of the swamp. And that's why the Senate has basically become a graveyard for all of the legislation that has been introduced. And there's a great guy his name is Alan Inapi on X, and he laid it all out. He said, look at the receipts. 430 plus days in the Senate, and here's what has not gone through yet. We're still waiting for the Senate to, again, pass the Save America Act to halt lethal trafficking of fentanyl. We're still waiting for the Senate to protect women and girls in sports. That's H.R. 28. We're still waiting for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Act to get through the Senate. We're still waiting for multiple border security and energy protection bills to get through the Senate. The Epstein Files Transparency Act, nope, they haven't acted on that. Stopping the Sexualization of Children Act, nope, they haven't acted on that. DHS funding, border security bills for 2026, still sitting unfinished. And it goes on and on and on. Do you understand now, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening in the Senate? And let me say this. It is so bad that we very well may lose the midterms unless this gets remedied. And if the Save America Act does not get across the finish line now, it never will. And at that point, we risk losing the republic. So this is how serious of a situation it is. Open to hearing your thoughts on how we remedy all of this. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. It's midnight. Sirens blare. You only have seconds to grab your child and run. Now imagine you're elderly. Your legs don't work like they used to. Getting downstairs feels impossible. And after all of that, you end up in a bomb shelter for hours, even days, because you can't make that trek again. This is what's happening across Israel as Operation Epic Fury continues. Children being traumatized, families are exhausted, and homes have been destroyed. That's why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is there on the ground, bringing food, emergency equipment, care for children, and help for the elderly, supplying bomb shelters and medical centers with critically needed essentials. If you've ever wondered what it looks like to stand for Israel and stand for good against evil, this is it. Please act now. Give $45 right now to rush life-saving essentials to the vulnerable under fire. Call 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-IFCJ or go online ifcj.org. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we are in action mode today. By the way, if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, we have posted John Thune's telephone number, and you head over to our YouTube and you'll see it there in the comments section. But we need you to be lighting up the phones today, and you also need to be calling your senators and telling them that you want John Thune out of leadership. All right, let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Let's start the day in North Carolina. Dave. Dave, what's on your mind?
Well, Todd, like I told your call screener, I hear the same thing day after day after day. There's never a solution. Our country is literally dissolving, and every day we hear the same thing. And it's all reasons why we can't do this, we can't do that. You know, we went into Venezuela, we're going to take over running it for a while. So my question was, are we going to start with a 45-day shutdown? I mean, we can't function here. Part of the initial purpose of Congress is to create, maintain a balanced budget. We can't do it. We can't fund something that is on an annual basis. You know, the federal government has a fiscal year, but we're going to fund this for these 2 weeks, and then we're going to have another shutdown. You know, cue the music. Here comes the drama. Da, 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 da. Are we going to do? You know, at the last and. Look at who it is. It's GSA and people like this because the American public flying is a big deal. Why can't John Thune get this done? I can't. Nobody in America can seem to accomplish anything. Give me the address of any married woman who can't get a voter's registration or a black person who can't get it, and I will go help them. I will walk them through the process, and I told your call screener. They had to go with an ID to get a marriage license to change their name and everything and have, you know, it's a couple pieces of paper. Take those pieces of paper to voter registration with your current ID, and I'm willing to bet that it's done in an hour. If
Dave,
somebody needs me to walk them through it, I will help.
Dave, you are a generous and kind man. And look, we've been preaching this on this radio program for years. We have yet to meet any single person, black, white, Hispanic, married, unmarried, who has not been able to get some form of ID. And Dave, we appreciate your generosity and your offer. We will let you know if anybody wants to take you up on it. Thank you for the call. A lot of common sense. We'll talk more about that coming up right after the break. Your call's coming up as well. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Gold and silver recently soared to record highs, then pulled back. So, are precious metals still a good buy? Many Wall Street experts predict higher prices ahead. Why? Because we still have trillions in national debt, a declining dollar, and inflation that keeps shrinking our savings. Even with corrections along the way, gold remains a historical hedge for wealth protection. That's why Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer ditched the 60-40 stock and bonds portfolio and recommended up to 20% in precious metals. They're getting educated, and you should too. Call Lear Capital at 800-992-2255 for your free gold investment kit and learn how you could qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold. Lear Capital has over $3 billion in transactions and thousands of five-star reviews. Call 800-992-2255. That's 800-992-2255 or visit LearAlex.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, we did a little deep dive into John Thune, and before he was elected back in 1996, before he came to Washington, his net worth was modest or on the lower side of modest, so he was basically a middle-class guy. Today, according to Forbes magazine, he is worth well over $3 million a year. And so we're just sort of curious, how does somebody accumulate that much wealth on a government salary? And that could be one of the reasons why John Thune is so adamantly opposed to President Trump's efforts to drain the swamp. All right, as promised, let's go back to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's head over to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Henry, listening to us on WSJS. Hi, Henry. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Yeah, I wanted to talk about what a great job I think President Trump and Secretary Hegseth are doing with this war. There's a number of things that they're doing that I really like. One is they're putting out the most awesome videos of the bombings we're doing, and they play rock music with it, and they splice in movie clips. That is so cool. I love how callous we are towards war. It's awesome. Very respectful to our troops as well.
Well, I certainly think so. Well, Henry, I think I would definitely say so. I think it's inspiring. I do think it's inspirational. For so many years, our military troops have been denigrated by Democrats and the mainstream media. And now we've got a military that has embraced this warrior ethos, and we're getting rid of the bad guys.
Acting like 12-year-old boys at a computer is really cool.
How is that acting like a 12-year-old boy? No. How is that acting like a 12-year-old? What are you talking about here? We're trying to highlight the successes of the most powerful fighting force on the planet. And also, these videos are a deterrent to all of the evil people that want to come over here and blow us up.
Oh, it's a deterrent? The rock music and the movie clips are a deterrent? How stupid are you?
What do you mean? I'm just curious. You're coming onto the program and you're calling me stupid. What do you mean by that, Henry?
How do you like the fact that we accidentally blew up the school and then Trump lied?
Not true. Not true. The president says, look, the president says that is under investigation. And look, we're in the middle of a war. Things are going to happen. Things are going to go wrong. And I have no doubt that if, in fact, the investigation proves that what the allegations are, then the president is going to come out and say something about it. But again, this is an active war zone, Henry. And bad things are going to happen. No doubt about it. People are going to lose their lives. That's the nature of war.
I'm sure Donnie will come out and apologize for it. He's really known for apologizing for his mistakes. And how about covering up how bad the attack in Kuwait was with all of the injured soldiers? They really tried their best to cover that up, but they finally put the news out today. Isn't that great?
No, it came out yesterday, and that was actually acknowledged at the White House press briefing. So how is that covering anything up, Henry?
They didn't acknowledge it till yesterday.
No, seriously, how is that? No, in all seriousness, how is that a cover up?
How is it a cover up? They didn't release the information right away. They've downplayed everything.
Why should? No, they're not downplaying. Look, they're not downplaying anything, Henry. Here's what this administration is not doing. They're not getting in front of the cameras, and they're not telling the entire world what they're about to do. Also, we also know, thanks to President Trump booting all of the Pentagon reporters, those longtime reporters, out of the actual Pentagon building, it turns out nobody's leaking any information. They used to do that. They used to leak all of this information to the press corps, putting targets on every single one of our fighting men and women. That's not happening anymore. So I got to tell you something, Henry. I do not have a problem with the fact that we don't know a lot about what's happening over there because we're trying to keep our troops safe.
Right. Better to cover up the war crimes that way.
It's not a crime. Right? What's the war crime? What's the war crime? You know what, Henry? Here's the problem. Here's the problem with people like you. If you would have been around during World War II, we would all be speaking German, at least half of the country would be, and the other half would be speaking Japanese. The reality is, Henry, and I know a lot of you like to live in this little Oompa Loompa, make-believe utopia where everybody's lovey-dovey and running around in tulip fields, tiptoeing around and dancing to, I don't know, the Coca-Cola song. But the reality is there are very bad people in the world, Henry, very bad people. And you know what? God has blessed the United States with the ability to blow the bad guys to the gates of hell. And I am glad as an American citizen for that. Henry, you ought to be glad as well. I'm going to let you stew on that, and I'm sure we'll hear back from you again. Henry, thank you for the call. It's a seminar caller, ladies and gentlemen. And this is how you deal with that. I have absolutely no problem with what's happening overseas right now. What I like, and again, I'm a journalist, so by nature, I'm inquisitive. Would I like to know what our next move is? Absolutely. But it would be foolish for anybody in the Pentagon to reveal that information, period. By the way, 140 of our soldiers injured so far in the war. 7 lost their lives. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Richard in Ocala, Florida. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind?
Howdy, Mr. Todd. Thanks for taking my call. Todd, just first, I'm not trying to blow smoke, but I want to thank you for what you're doing. This needs exposed, and I've been listening to you doing a good job of it. I agree with you 100%. It's not just the Democrats. I think half the Republicans is lined up with the Democrats, and they don't want to fix the problem. They're happy with the way the country's going. But I believe with all my heart, America is at a last end resort, a do or die. If we don't pass this and get this thing fixed and then enforce it after we fix it, we're doomed as a free Republican nation. When I say Republic, I mean a republic, as a free republic. And so my question is, if the Senate don't pass it, and I don't think they're going to come close to, I think that John Thune is a traitor, but not just him. I think 3/4 of them in Congress are traitors. But if they don't pass it, can our president, as a last-ditch effort, declare martial law, move in the military, and forcibly get out every illegal in America out of the country. And then when it comes time to vote, they wouldn't be here to cast an illegal vote and steal our election from us. Majority of the American people would back him in their hearts. They might not be brave enough to say so, but something's got to be done. It's either now or never. I believe with all my heart, you're right. If we don't fix it, we're done as a nation in the very near future. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, so first of all, Richard, there had been some questions about whether or not the president could just issue an executive order forcing strict voter ID laws. He cannot do that. He does not have that power. That is something that Congress has to tackle. So that's off the table. You know, the other issue about the mass deportations. Now, this is going to, I'm just going to share this, and I don't want to tell you how to feel, but this is what's coming out of the White House. Multiple news agencies are reporting that the White House has told House GOP members to avoid talking about mass deportation ahead of the midterms. So according to, I'm going to read the Washington Post, and I do know that these reports are in fact accurate, but there are, the White House is very concerned that the mass deportations are going to have blowback and they're going to lose support in the midterm elections. All of this is happening, by the way, down in Florida when they were meeting earlier this week. So the issue is, what exactly can we expect moving forward when it comes to deportations? Do you believe, and Richard, and we'll pose this question to the audience, but do you favor just focusing on the very bad, very dangerous criminal illegals, or do we go after everybody? And that's something that we're all going to have to grapple with, because I'm telling you, the days of targeting the Home Depots and the Lowe's, I think those days are over for Homeland Security. I don't think they're going to be doing that anymore, Richard.
Well, Mr. Todd, I agree with what you said to get the worst ones out of here, but I think we ought to have the military or Homeland Security or somebody at every polling booth in America, and the first one of the illegals that tries to cast an illegal vote, then they need to deport it on the spot. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 like the old Monopoly game, but head straight to jail. If they want to let the one that's working hard and paying taxes and trying to come over here and do what's right and incorporate into our system, not bring theirs, but agree to ours, our way of government, our way of life. And if they want to do that, but the second they try to cast an illegal vote, I think they ought to be shipped out of the country.
Well, yeah.
Because they're destroying our nation, Todd, and by what they're voting for.
Yes. And when you look, and again, Chuck Schumer is saying tens of millions, that tells me that we've got a lot of people that are voting in elections that should not be voting, but it goes beyond that, because the actual numbers of people will determine congressional districts. And that's the bigger issue, especially when you're looking at what's happening in, for example, California, where they've pretty much decimated all of the Republican congressional districts. Kevin Kiley announcing that he's going independent. He will caucus with the Republicans. Daryl Issa, longtime conservative out there in Southern California, says he's ending his congressional career because of the redistricting issues. So, Richard, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Something has to be done. But I think, again, ladies and gentlemen, and Richard, thank you for the call. When you look at where we are right now, it's a little murky, right? Everything sort of feels discombobulated because we're off message. You know, President Trump and this Iran situation is causing a big rift within the MAGA movement right now. And it's not just Iran, but it's going to be Cuba. We've already handled Venezuela. And the president's got a reason for doing all of this. But the reality is we need to be focused more so on what's happening domestically and getting rid of the illegals. And that's where the White House right now, there is an internal battle going on inside 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue as to the extent of that. Now, early on, I will say this, early on, the plan before Kristi Noem decided to get a makeover and buy cowboy boots and get a horse, before all of that happened, the plan was to go after the very, very bad guys first and then everybody else. But that did not happen. And it was all, I mean, they were going after they hit every taco joint in America. And now you can't get a good chalupa. I mean, what do you want me to say? It is what it is. All right, let's go to Angie in Gainesville, Georgia. Angie, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, long time no hear, honey. I'm in havoc mode. I had a couple of questions. In your opinion, why did we wait so long to let all of this get out of hand with Iran, number one, when they knew over the years that they were building bombs, not uranium, why are we allowing illegal immigrants in this country when they don't know who they're associated with? It's kind of like Facebook. You can block somebody from Facebook, but everybody can see what's going on with you. And the reason I point that out is because every illegal immigrant needs to come through this country the way that they're supposed to. Can you imagine going to China and breaking into China illegally, breaking into Japan illegally, breaking into Kuwait or wherever illegally? We don't know. Some of these Americans work for some of these, I don't want to say Al-Qaeda because I don't know enough about it, but these Hamas, whatever that Hamas is or whatever. We have got so many illegal immigrants in this country, we don't know who is who. One of them could be your neighbor and end up blowing you up. And, you know, I'm just wanting your opinion on as to why the United States of America wait until things get out of hand and not do anything about it. It's like going to the doctor and saying, well, you've got cancer, but we're going to wait till it progresses until we do anything about it. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, you are, Angie. And I'll give you an example. The president, during the press conference, somebody asked about all the sleeper cells, and apparently there are thousands of Muslim sleeper cells. And the president said, oh, yeah, look, we've got all these guys under surveillance. We know what they're doing. We know what they're up to. And I'm sitting here listening to the president explain it, and I'm like, well, wait a second, Mr. President. If we know where the terrorists are, why don't we go and get them and either send them down to Gitmo or boot them the heck out of the country? What are we waiting for, a mushroom cloud over an American city? I don't understand that. But again, Angie, I think there are a lot of forces at play here. I was reading a report a couple of days ago that China, of all people, that China was funding a lot of these protests that we're seeing, you know, these professional protests that are popping up all over America. So I think when you've got your enemies like China trying to sow disinformation and discord, you've got the leftists who hate America, and then you have these radical progressives and the do-nothing Republicans. It is a great big mess right now, and it's all fixable. The question is, will President Trump, will he be able to fix it? Is there enough time to fix it? And what does that look like for the midterms? Because right now, the Republicans, they don't deserve to be reelected, Angie. But the problem is, we can't afford for them not to be reelected. That's the big problem here.
Right. But the thing, the question I'm asking, and I'm just asking your opinion, is all of this has been going on with Iran and Iraq for years. Look what the Biden administration, yep, and the Obama administration did. My question is, I understand anything Trump is going to do, everybody is going to hate him no matter what.
All right, let me answer your question because let me answer that question because we're running out of time here. Ronald Reagan didn't do anything. H.W. Bush didn't do anything. Bill Clinton didn't do anything. George W. didn't do anything. Obama didn't do anything. Trump didn't do anything in the first term in office. Biden didn't do anything. But now apparently it reached the critical mass where they had to go in and whatever intel they had to go in and do it. I can't tell you why they chose not to do it, but they kept kicking that can down the road. And now we're in a precarious situation. Angie, I gotta run. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Gold and silver recently soared to record highs, then pulled back. So are precious metals still a good buy? Many Wall Street experts predict higher prices ahead. Why? Because we still have trillions in national debt, a declining dollar, and inflation that keeps shrinking our savings. Even with corrections along the way, gold remains a historical hedge for wealth protection. That's why Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer ditched the 60-40 stock and bonds portfolio and recommended up to 20% in precious metals. They're getting educated, and you should too. Call Lear Capital at 800-992-2255 for your free gold investment kit and learn how you could qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold. Lear Capital has over $3 billion in transactions and thousands of five-star reviews. Call 800-992-2255. That's 800-992-2255 or visit LearAlex.com.
All right, coming up, we're going to be talking to a guy that wants to beat Lindsey Graham. Mark Lynch going to primary Lindsey Graham, Lady Graham, in the U.S. Senate race in South Carolina. Also, we're going to be talking to a former federal prosecutor running for attorney general in New York, has a lot to say about what's happening there in New York City with the terrorist attacks. Also, as we're going to break, I want to encourage you to go right now to Barnes & Noble online or Books A Million or Amazon and pre-order a copy of my brand new book coming out this spring. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. I want you to read this book, folks. You're going to love it. It's going to give you some encouragement, and Lord knows we could use some of that right now. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, available right now at Amazon for pre-order.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is hour two of the big show. Great to have you with us wherever you might be listening, radio stations or social media platforms, Rumble, YouTube. Great to have you guys with us. Wherever you might be, I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in to the show, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. So the investigation continues, and a lot of very nervous people in New York City as a result of this attempted bombing over the weekend, where you had these teenage jihadists from Pennsylvania who tried to blow up a lot of protesters. Now, CNN, the most profane name in news, CNN yesterday, Abby Phillips, she characterized the bombing this way. Cut two, please.
Two Republicans say Muslims don't belong here after an attempted terror attack against New York's mayor, Zohran Mamdani, and the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, says nothing really to condemn those comments.
All right. So now they're CNN is trying to convince us that this was an attack directed at Mamdani, when in fact the jihadists were yelling Allahu Akbar and they were trying to bomb the protesters. CNN later coming back and having to retract those comments. Well, I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I believe our next guest might have something to say about what's happening in New York City, the lawlessness. She wants to be the next Attorney General of New York State. She is a rising star in the Republican Party. Sarita Komorateti, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you.
So a lot of very concerned people right now in New York City, they see the attacks that could have taken out a lot of police officers. Of course, a couple of weeks ago, you had the people attacking NYPD officers with snowballs and chunks of ice. And the mayor seems to be dismissing all of this. What say you?
You know, it's a real problem. I have to tell you, living in New York, we have all seen over the last 5-6 years that public safety has really deteriorated. We see random acts of violence. We see people being punched, stabbed in the street in broad daylight. And we see stores being robbed. And that kind of crime, it's across the board. It's all types of crime. And it's a problem. And it's because we don't have officials in charge at the mayor level, at the DA level, at the attorney general's level, that support law enforcement, that support enforcement of the laws. That's why crime in New York, while Letitia James has been attorney general, is up 26%.
It's just unfathomable. And I remember living in New York City for 15 years, and I would, you know, on the nice days, I would walk back across the Brooklyn Bridge to my home in there in downtown Brooklyn from Midtown Manhattan, and you never really had to think about somebody coming up behind you and attacking you or stabbing you. It just seems like it's a very different, sort of almost a dystopian feel right now in New York City.
Well, the problem is that they're not. It's not one random act. We see it all the time. Just this week, there were two more situations involving people being pushed into in the subway. I mean, these things are happening because we're not enforcing the laws. The good news is we know how to enforce the laws. We've done it before. We can do it again. We can do it ethically. We can do it compassionately, but we need to do it. We need to prosecute criminals. What we're seeing is repeat criminals are out on the street because they're not charged to the fullest extent of the law. They're not put in jail after arrest. They're just let out the same day. Sometimes they're not even taken to court. They're just given a ticket and said told to show up later. That's a problem. We're not clearing the homeless and the sick off the street. People like that, they need to be in shelters. They need to be in hospitals. They need to be in drug treatment centers. Instead, we're letting these folks be out on the street. It's not good for them, not good for anyone else. And that's the real problem.
I know that you guys are dealing in New York with an issue. My hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, we have a George Soros-style district attorney in our area, very soft on crime. You have judges that are letting very dangerous people out without bail in many cases. And you guys have the same situation there in New York City with Alvin Bragg. There was one case. This is insane. A guy was arrested 134 times, and he ended up getting just a very light prison sentence. So these guys are back out on the streets where they're able to basically prey on more innocent people.
That's right. That was a recent instance again in the subway where someone was hurt in the subway by someone. You know, that individual who was arrested more than 130 times, his last arrest was for an assault where that assault, she assaulted a woman on the street. He should have been detained before trial for that. But because of the charging policies, because of the bail policies, he was let out and it put someone else at risk. I mean, I've seen this firsthand. I was a federal prosecutor for 12 years in New York, and I was chief of staff of the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. And I have seen just last fall, the last time I was in arraignment court, I saw a guy come in with 27 priors. He was out on probation for some reason. When the NYPD went looking for him, they found him with fentanyl, heroin, and cocaine, and scales, which means he was dealing, and a loaded gun. Dealing deadly drugs across the street from a middle school. When he got prosecuted in the state, he got 6 months and was let out. That's why they brought him to federal court to see if I could do something about it. That's a problem, and it's a problem for all New Yorkers. People across the political spectrum agree someone like that should not be let out. That person deserves to be in jail. He's a public safety threat. That's the kind of issue we're dealing with, and we're dealing with it across New York, in every county in New York. We're seeing issues like that, and it's because we have an attorney general who doesn't support law enforcement and doesn't support enforcing the laws.
Mm. Sarita Comitoretti is a former federal prosecutor, now running to be the next attorney general of New York as a Republican. Her website, by the way, SarithaForNewYork.com. That's SarithaForNewYork.com. You know, there was an amazing photograph. I don't know if you saw the photograph that was taken after this attempted terrorist attack over the weekend. And it was Police Chief Aaron Edwards, this police officer literally jumping over, the guy's in his 40s, jumping over police barricades and literally running towards the danger. It's really appalling, and I think a lot of police are just really infuriated that Mayor Mamdani has not even invited this man or, you know, to Gracie Mansion to say thank you or even issued any sort of a statement thanking the NYPD for the incredible work they did.
Yeah, Chief Edwards is really a hero. I mean, we owe a great deal of gratitude to him as a city, as a state. You know, I had the honor of working on the Joint Terrorism Task Force for much of my career, and I worked alongside police department officials, NYPD, New York State Police, federal officials from every agency. And those people work every day to keep us safe. It's one of the reasons we need to make sure we support them, fund them, and help them in their mission.
The big question, I think, and your credentials are just impeccable, the question is, how can Republicans win in New York State? How does that happen?
We can win, and we will win, because what we are running on, our message, is we need to make New York safer. We need to make New York stronger. We need to make New York safer. And that's something everyone can get behind. It doesn't matter what your background is, what community you come from, or what your politics are. People want New York to be safer. Because safety has been on a decline, 1 million New Yorkers have left in the last 5 years. It's unacceptable. So it's very simple. If you elect an attorney general who's a true professional, who's a prosecutor, who has done this for more than a decade, someone like me who actually has a record of keeping New Yorkers safe, regardless of what community you come from, keeping politics out of it, then I can do the same thing statewide. And that's what we need, an attorney general who is making decisions based on the facts and the law, waking up every morning asking, how can I make New York safer? Not an attorney general distracted by partisan ideology, distracted by politics. For that reason, we can win, and we will win.
You know, Sarita, I was on your website, and the first thing that pops up are images of what happened in New York City on September 11th, 2001. And for me, I think that is like, you know, much like you have B.C. and A.D., I think you have life after 9/11. And the reality is we have very dangerous people in this world. Many of them now apparently have snuck into this country, and they want to see more buildings come down, and they want to see more Americans die. And that is just, I don't think this was a one-off on 9/11. I think this is something we're going to have to pay attention to for the rest of our lives.
It's something we have to be vigilant about. The reason those images are on my website is because it's the reason I'm a terrorism prosecutor. 9/11 happened my first week of college. That made me want to fight terrorists. That's why I went to law school and became a terrorism prosecutor. And that's why I spent years prosecuting members of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. In fact, I prosecuted a young man very similar to the people who we just saw arrested this week, a young man who drove from Pennsylvania to New York with explosives in his car, with bomb-making instructions on his devices. And thank God we caught him before he was able to do anything, and we were able to put him in federal prison, and he's now serving a 38-year sentence. But these things, we have to be vigilant about them. You can't treat them as one-off events. It is a real threat. There are some people in this world that believe that they need to commit violence and violent jihad to achieve their ends, and we have to make sure we stop that threat. The only way to do that is to have someone in charge who is paying attention, who's qualified, and who's going to work well with others to actually make sure that threat is eliminated.
You know, one of the things I appreciate about you is you're not afraid to say what needs to be said, and it's not, this is not a Zohran Mamdani issue. This is a broader cultural issue that has really been created in Albany, the state capital, where you've got the laws governing, you know, these low bails. You've got the soft on crime prosecutors, and honestly, you've got a population of young people in the state of New York, and specifically New York City, that are just, there is no respect for law enforcement, which I suspect is one of the reasons why they felt like they could attack those cops a couple of weeks ago.
Well, the reason is because of all of the policies and rhetoric that's built up over the last five, six years. The reason is we have, police who, you're right, criminals feel free to attack the police because they know that there will be no consequences. If you remember back in 2019, when Letitia James was first in office, there were people throwing buckets of water at police, and those people, there were no consequences. They didn't get in trouble. That's the lesson they learned from that. So they feel free to do it again. Those police, unfortunately, have to sort of stand there and take it because they know that if they react, the politicians won't have their backs. And even when the person gets arrested, you saw the DA downplayed the charges so that he got released the same day. That's because of the charging decisions. That's because of the decisions in Albany on the bail laws. Every single one of those things can be fixed with the right leadership.
Mm. Before we let you go, I know you're new to our audience, and we're going to get you back on between now and the election. I love how you stand on these issues, and we got to get you on the Newsmax show too. But you're also on top of, like, you know, battling crime. You're also a mom. I mean, I don't know how do you fight? How do you balance all of them? That's a lot of work you've got on your hands.
Well, I'm very, very fortunate. I have four children, two sets of twins. And so I was extraordinarily lucky with them. But frankly, they're the reason I do it. You know, I want my city to be safe for my kids, for my neighbors, for my community. and I want my state to be safe. I see this problem happening throughout the state. I've traveled throughout the state over the last 3 months, and I see in every county, in every community, there's a story of a repeat offender who's been out on the street, hurt someone, shouldn't have been in there in the first place. There's a story of some kid dying from fentanyl, should never have even been close to the fentanyl. We're seeing these tragedies, and they are preventable tragedies. I want my kids to be safe and everyone's kids to be safe. It's why I'm running for Attorney General.
All right. Well, Saritha, we wish you nothing but the best out there. Thank you for the great work you're doing to keep not only New York safe, but also the United States of America safe. And we wish you good luck out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you very much.
All right. Saritha Comitoretti, ladies and gentlemen, she's a former federal prosecutor. Quite the resume here. She clerked under Justice Kavanaugh back in the day. And as you heard her say, she was really inspired to focus her career on crime after the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. Go check out her website, SarithaForNewYork.com. That's SarithaForNewYork.com, and you'll be able to see all of her intel there. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. I'm excited about these. And again, there are so many positive things happening within the Republican Party. Meanwhile, you've got Congress, and the Republicans there are so entrenched, they want to stop this incredible agenda that the president has. And that's why I am really so focused, laser focused right now on John Thune and these do-nothing senators in the Congress right now. All right, I want to give you a real quick update on Social Security. There is some new studies out there. It turns out that, get this, 70% of you guys do not get the full benefits that you currently deserve. And we've got a solution to that because there are some very simple strategies that can actually boost your Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over your lifetime. So there's a guy by the name of Michael Allen. He is a Social Security expert, and he's got five key strategies to increase your benefits. It's all in a special report provided by Newsmax. I want you to write down this telephone number, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We're going to text you right away this information, the Social Security report. So again, call 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're honored to have you guys with us. Coming up, we're going to be talking to our good friend Congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee, also Greg Stube, the congressman from Florida. And a little bit later on, we're going to talk to Mark Lynch. This guy is running a ferocious campaign. He is a Republican businessman, and he wants to send Lindsey Graham back to DuPont Circle. You can Google that and you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's going to be a fun conversation. Mark Lynch joining us in the next hour. By the way, we're very excited about launching an effort. We are beginning and building the structure of a foundation to help raise up next generation conservative Christian journalists. And we want you to be a part of that effort. We're building a nonprofit foundation. You know, so many of the young people that are that have come through our company now work at places like Newsmax and the Washington Post and Fox News Channel. And we want to build a program that will send more Christian conservatives into these secular newsrooms. Now, if you're interested in getting information about how you can be a part of that, how you can support our effort, I want you to give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and we'll be happy to share that information with you. But we would love for you to be a part of our effort raising up next generation conservative American journalists. Again, the number, if you'd like to lend a helping hand, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Our good friend Congressman Tim Burchett joined me on Newsmax last night, had a great conversation covering a lot of ground. I want you to pay very close attention to what he says about Lindsey Graham carpet bombing his farm in East Tennessee. Take a listen.
A lot of people are really frustrated right now with the Senate. What about yourself?
Completely. I keep saying that thing that just ran by you was a glacier. Because they, you know, I had my bill up to defund the Taliban every week. They get $40 million a year of my money, and I can't get it on the floor. I don't know what's, yeah, it's beyond me. I think what you really see, though, is the sewer of Washington, D.C. You've got people in leadership that hate this president so much that they'll wreck the country so they can stay in power or gain more power. You know, it's about the suburban, it's about the three deep security. Going to places, not standing in line, and just forgetting about the people that you represent. I think that's too many times that's a trap that we fall into, and it's both parties, and it's on both in Congress and in the Senate. So I see it every day, but it's so blatant in the Senate right now because President Trump has upset the apple cart. He's, you know, we've got all these appointments that we can't get through. And I'll tell you what, if we don't retain the majority, that not a single one of them will get approved. Not a single one of them. And they've just been dragging their heels the whole way through.
Your colleague, Congressman Greg Stube, agrees with you, writing this on X. If Congress can't pass the common sense legislation that Americans elected us to deliver, we don't deserve the power they've given us. You know, again, this goes back to, and I know you heard the senator there, Mike Lee, was rattling about this on social media, that the majority leader seems to think all of us who are complaining are somehow paid influencers. How do you respond to that slur?
Well, that's ridiculous, and that's exactly what it is. It's just, I think it's somebody that doesn't understand what's going on. They spent too much time in Washington, and then maybe go home in their own district. I don't know anywhere. In East Tennessee or Tennessee, I've been doing a little stumping for Marsha Blackburn across the state as she runs for governor. And that is usually the first thing out of their mouth. Why can't y'all get this SAVE Act passed, the Save America Act? Why do I have to show a birth certificate why does my kid have to show a birth certificate when they play Little League baseball? And why do I have to show an ID if I go buy a six-pack of beer or a scratch-off down at the Wiggles here in Knoxville? So it's beyond me, Todd. I think it's the arrogance of power, and it's a disassociation. And they just don't want to work. For so long, they haven't had to work. And that's why you're seeing so many leave Congress and Senate, because guess what? They're having to work. They're having to make tough votes, and they refuse to do it.
So Congressman Senator Lindsey Graham's one of the Republicans opposing changing the filibuster. He told another news network on another issue, by the way, with regard to Iran, "I'm with Israel," this is his quote, "until my dying day." A lot of folks are wondering, okay, Senator, we appreciate that sentiment, but what about Americans? Are you with us, sir?
I got to be careful what I say about Lindsey. I don't want to get my foreign carpet bombed out here. He likes the fight. He likes the war and the battle, but it's not him or me. It's going to be my 18-year-old daughter that goes and fights in one of those crazy wars. And I think we need to remember that with folks like him. I'm not sure he can misdirect. That's the problem with the Senate. And that is actually the creation, why the Senate was created for 6 years, because they realized that we're going to move on to the next shiny object down the road. Or as I like to say, Americans want their pizzas in 30 minutes or less, and that's about our dadgum attention span, and I'm guilty of that as well.
Well,
but I think they realize that, every 6 years versus running every 2 years.
And, of course, Congressman, the senator went on to talk about sending the sons and daughters of South Carolina to the Middle East. I really do wonder how the sons and daughters of South Carolina feel about that.
They'd have to be disgusted. Well, let's let the president continue. You know, I think they've dropped, 20,000 bombs over there, and I think they're prepared to do about 300,000. Pretty soon, they're not going to be fighting over anything. All we got to do is open up the canal over there, the strait, I guess, is whatever they call it, and restore trade through there, and I think we're going to be okay. The oil industry is crooked as a dog's leg, though. You look at, we don't even get any oil from Iran. And I know the economists that they hire are going to say, oh, Burchett doesn't get it. Oh, I get it. You've got a commodity that we have to have. And anytime anybody comes along with any other newer energy, the price immediately will drop down to where that is not profitable. It's a racket. The world knows it. We know it. Because every time the oil goes up, the price of oil goes up. They say the gas at the pumps goes up exponentially. But guess where it doesn't go up? That quart of oil that you can buy at the auto parts store, for some reason, it doesn't go up exponentially like gasoline. And that gasoline in the pumps has already been paid for. They're just ripping us off. Diesel's the first cut they take, or the second cut. It's the cheapest made. And it's, I told my daughter, I said, you're not going to have that second year of school, honey. I had to fill up the dually with diesel today.
I get it, Congressman. I get it. Real quick before we let you go, there are some late breaking developments. Washington Post and Axios, they're reporting that the White House Deputy Chief of Staff has been privately urging House Republicans, and this all happened earlier today, to stop emphasizing mass deportations and instead focus messaging on removing violent criminals. Any chance you might be able to verify that? Have you been given any marching orders?
No, but that's always been what I've talked about. They're talking about sending somebody home, a multiple rapist, and I always conclude send them home in a box, because sending them away, they could, if the Democrats get back in power, they're going to be right back in our country, as we've seen many times. But yeah, I mean, that seems like a good strategy because of where we're headed. But I think we better get a really good immigration plan, similar to the one under Reagan, that would allow people to come in and work as long as we know where they are. And it's a seasonal type of work where they can go home, because that will help both our economies. And realize, too, if somebody down in Central America makes $5,000 a year, guess what? They'll stay in their country. So I think there's some opportunities there for Americans to invest. Oh, and I'm
fair point.
Working on legislation to do just that, to give tax credits to folks that want to invest down there to keep the jobs down there.
All right. I always love this guy. You know what's interesting about Burchett? He just tells it like it is, and he doesn't really care who gets offended, and God love him for that. By the way, Burchett, something's going on there. Of course, Senator Marsha Blackburn's running to be the next governor of Tennessee, and she is going to be. It's just a matter of the election. But when that happens, there will be an opening in the Senate from Tennessee, and the speculation here in the Volunteer State, and I'm curious to hear from our Tennessee listeners. We've got a lot from Memphis to Chattanooga and parts in between. I'd be curious to hear from you folks. How do you feel about Tim Burchett being appointed to the U.S. Senate? I think that he could do a lot of good, and I think that he would be a voice of reason in the Senate. But again, it's ultimately up to the governor. And so the problem in Tennessee is you guys have a moderate Republican governor. His name is Bill Lee. There's some talk that he may appoint someone within his staff to that Senate seat. Or there's also some suggestion here that Blackburn may not resign until the second before she takes the oath of office. And when that happens, she would be the person to appoint the senator. And let me tell you something. Tim Burchett has been by Blackburn's side through thick and thin, and I think there's a great relationship there, a great friendship. So anyway, curious to hear from you folks in Tennessee. How would you feel about Tim Burchett being your next U.S. Senator? All right, got to take a break here. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That number again, 901-260-5926. May I tell you about our friends over at MyFaithAssistant.com. They're one of the great sponsors of this program, and the service they provide you is free of charge. There's no gimmicks, nothing. It's just free of charge. Dr. Michael Youssef, one of the great pastors in America, one of the great theologians, now has a great platform where you can ask theological questions. What does the Bible say about war? For example, and you're going to get answers. MyFaithAssistant.com is the website. There's no login required. It's completely free. And as a matter of fact, many times during the show over the past 3 or 4 weeks that they've been on board with us, I've actually used My Faith Assistant during the program to find an answer to this question or that question. So one of the things you're going to get, personalized guidance. For example, how can I share God's design for, say, sexuality with my child? Where did Jesus actually claim to be God? What does the Bible say about politics? So you're going to be able to get answers to all of those questions and so much more. So go check it out. It's sort of like a ChatGPT or Meta AI, but it's all theologically vetted, not for clicks, but for Christ. So again, myfaithassistant.com. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Jeez, Lou, I feel like Trump carpet bombing the Iranians. Dylan, we've been dealing with this Asian ladybug infestation.
We are in a war.
We're in a war,
and we're winning.
Are we? I think we're being
affected by our own weapons.
Well, yes. Apparently, so during the commercial breaks, I've been running around the news bunker, which is palatial, and I've been like hosing it down with this. We sent the lovely Miss Shelby out to get this Home Depot. We found something that actually kills the ladybugs, but apparently we're getting some of the fumes.
It's very strong.
It's a little pungent.
A little tingling in the nose, if you will.
Yeah, it may not have been a good idea to spread Agent Orange around the building because the ladybugs are not dying.
No.
I've noticed this.
They're indestructible. They have some sort of armor that we need.
I've been told whatever you do, don't squash them because they apparently emit some sort of an awful, god-awful odor.
This is the first of its kind. They're like stink ladybugs.
I don't know what to do. I've been researching this. How do you stop the ladybugs from getting into the building? That's what we're trying to figure out is how they got in by the, is it safe to say the tens of thousands?
Yes, very safe to say that. And you said the other day that even if we do kill them, they'll come back. It's like a seasonal thing.
This cannot be. I don't know. How do we? So they recommended caulking. Go and caulk. So I've got the caulking gun.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to wait and do that after the show.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get carried away.
For now, we wait to see what this chemical is going to do to all of us.
I was told by an expert. They said, Starnes, you need a caulking gun, and you need to caulk every orifice in the building. And I'm like, every orifice?
They're small. They're small little bugs.
Never heard that phrase used before, but to describe cracks in the building.
Yeah.
But all right, staff, bend over. Take one for the team.
It is crazy, like where you find these ladybugs, because they'll be inside of your shirt, and you'll never have seen it coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just living there for who knows how long.
Oh, jeez.
Check your hair.
This is not good. It is not good. Yes. So if anybody, I don't know if anybody's ever dealt with this sort of an infestation, it's the craziest thing. And we're being told that there's really no way to combat these things. And I find that impossible. I'm about to call the Pentagon. See if they can't do something. If they can eradicate, you know, the Iranian Islamist.
Surely,
right?
Surely.
You would think, at least. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Mark Lynch. He is a businessman in South Carolina. He is going to primary Lindsey Graham, and he's using millions of his own dollars. This is really remarkable. And he's really upset over these comments that Lindsey Graham made, and we brought it up with Tim Burchett. Burchett says, I really don't want to say anything really bad about Lindsey Graham because he might just carpet bomb my farm. It is a reasonable concern. So anyway, we're going to be talking to Mark Lynch about all of that, sending the sons and daughters of South Carolina to Iran. And I am curious. Look, and this is a judgment-free zone, more or less, but I am curious your thoughts on the war. I mean, there are a lot of conservatives who are very concerned that we're over there. And I will say this, There's going to be a strategy here because the country is too big. You know, they said a couple of months back we were blowing up something in Iran. Well, we obliterated their nuclear site. Well, now apparently we're going to have to obliterate it again. But before we obliterate anything, I think we all need to step back and explore the definition of the word obliterate, because I'm not sure it actually means what people think it means. Because when something is obliterated, it means it's gone. No more Asian ladybugs. Obliterated. So I'm partially obliterated. Okay, we could get away with that. But what I'm saying is, I don't think that we're going to have a white flag of surrender. And here's how I think all of this is going to go down over there. I think we're going to get to a point where we have blown up as pretty much everything we can possibly blow up. The Iranians are going to say, all right, let's get together. We'll meet at we'll meet in London or wherever, and we'll work out the terms of, you know, a ceasefire. There will be talks. And at that point, Trump will declare victory and we will just go on with our lives. But the problem is, the problem is still going to be there. And the reasons for bombing Iran are changing daily. So I think everybody needs to get on the same page, get the same talking points. Why exactly is it that we are bombing Iran right now? What's the goal of all of this? When will we know that we have achieved that goal? And again, if you don't know what the goals are, well, you're not going to know when to pull the plug. And here's the deal. We cannot still be at war with Iran going into the midterm elections. Can't do that. I don't think that's a good move. And I don't think the American people, and I may be off base here, and if I am, you let me know. But I don't think I'm off base here. I don't believe the American people want to see their sons and daughters boots on the ground in Iran. That doesn't make you unpatriotic. That doesn't make you anti-military. I just don't think that you... I get it. That is a massively large country. And once we start putting boots on the ground, we're going to have another 20-year war on our hands. That's what a lot of people are concerned about. But right now, again, the only people talking about that are the Democrats and the media. Trump isn't talking. Well, the administration's not telling us one way or the other. So you can read that however you want to read it. The way I'm interpreting that is we're just not going to tell you what we're going to do. But I don't think Donald Trump wants to put boots on the ground. I will be very surprised if Donald Trump puts boots on the ground. I really will. But at the end of the day, we've got to have some closure here and move on. Meanwhile, there's some reporting that Putin may be getting ready to make a move on the Baltic states. And if that happens, well, it's going to get messy. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Coming up, also, our friends at Strategic Financial Partners, Adam Martin, Chris Loftus, they come every week, and they're going to be answering your financial questions. So if you've got a question about finance, give them a holler. We'll be doing that coming up in the next hour as well. Stick around, everybody. Hour 3 up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is me. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Very, very busy news day. By the way, I didn't have a chance to talk about this yesterday, but I've got to give a shout out to my home state, the Volunteer State. There are very good people who live here in Tennessee, and I'm born and raised in Memphis and lived in Middle Tennessee, East Tennessee, and of course back home in West Tennessee. Spent 15 years at Fox News Channel, and when my contract was up, I knew it was time to come back home. And because it's sort of like, I don't know. Remember the shoes, Dylan, the Uggs?
The Ugglies, Uggs.
you know, forget about Uggs. My slippers. Mike Lindell's my slippers. Yeah. Those things are snuggly, right? You just feel, you feel warm and you feel like you're where you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
That's how I feel about Tennessee.
Me too.
It's a good place. So anyway, over the, just over the weekend, word came out, our good buddy John Rich, who's been on this show many times, John sent out the all call. There was a gentleman, a military veteran, a Navy veteran, had passed away. No family at all, no friends. He died alone, and there was no one to attend his funeral. So John Rich put out the all call, and yesterday, nearly 200 Tennesseans showed up at the Military Veteran Cemetery there in Middle Tennessee, and they attended this man's funeral. People from all walks of life. And it's just a reminder, as crazy as things are in Washington, D.C., as crazy as things are in America right now with the GOGs, the gals of girth, and all of that crowd, there are so many more good and decent, hardworking American people. They're just raising their families. They're going to church, loving God, and trying to serve him the best way they can. And that was on display. We've got a new video up over on our Facebook page. And if you're not following us on the socials, I hope you do, because we have a lot of fun over there and share a lot of great content with you as well. So head over to our Facebook page, Todd Stearns FNC, and you'll be able to watch the new videos. All right, I'm excited about our next guest. His name is Mark Lynch. He is a businessman, and he is running for the U.S. Senate in a primary battle against Lindsey Graham. And I tell you what, this guy is really making an impact right now in the Palmetto State. Mark Lynch, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
You know, we had Congressman Tim Burchett on my Newsmax show last night, and he made a quip, and he was being half serious about, you know, criticizing Lindsey Graham, and he said he had to be careful what he said about Lindsey because he was afraid Lindsey might carpet bomb his farm in East Tennessee. I mean, sadly, there's a lot of truth there. Lindsey Graham wants to send South Carolina's sons and daughters to Iran, and he said that verbatim on Fox News Channel, and I'm curious, as our starting point here, what do you think about that?
Well, South Carolinians have been asking, where has Lindsey been the last year? He's starting wars all over the world, you know, because he makes a lot of money through the military-industrial complex of Boeing and Lockheed Martin. They're some of his biggest contributors, we noticed in 2020 when he ran against Jamie Harrison. And, it's interesting that he's going to come back to South Carolina, he said, to gather up our boys and girls and put them into war over in the Mideast. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that. And people have that's not the reason we want to see him come back into South Carolina. And he's missed the whole thing. He hadn't seen the forest for the trees because we've been infiltrated with Islam terrorists for 20 years, and he was part of that with his Gramsci approach, wanting to give illegal aliens amnesty, not knowing who they are. And now we're all worried about the sleeper cells all over America and in South Carolina. And, you know, well, he hadn't dealt with America first. People want U.S. senators to serve their people in the state in South Carolina and to serve America first, not go outside of our country and worry about everything else that's going on all over the world when we got major problems right here at home.
By the way, Mark, if I can just interject here real quick, we do have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stearns Show.
And Mark, to your point, the FBI just issuing a warning. They are very concerned, issuing a warning to police departments in California that Iran may retaliate against the United States by launching drones aimed at inflicting damage on the West Coast. This coming from ABC News. I want to read this to you, the statement from the feds. We acquired information that as early as February 2026, Iran aspired to conduct a surprise attack using unmanned aerial vehicles from an unidentified vessel off the coast of the United States homeland, specifically against unspecified targets in California. And again, Mark, this is not a surprise here, because we've known, I mean, members of Congress for at least the past 5 years have been coming on my show saying it's not a matter of if, but when the bad guys are going to strike on American soil.
That's right. You know, with Biden and Obama's administrations, the terrorists have walked into this country to go to their appointed locations. And, you know, I've been working in the national security realm with some strong individuals fighting for our country to stop the Islamic infiltration in America. So we've known about this, and so is Lindsey. And he's now all about, you know, shutting down the sanctuary cities that he created. You know, he sends out a direct mail piece to his voters and the Republican Party. I get them because I've donated to the Republican Party about his proud to be part of the Lake and Riley Act. And I've told everybody in my campaign, I'll pay to fly he and I, and we'll go to the Riley home. And I want to hear what he has to say to the Riley family about their daughter being beaten up and brutally raped and murdered by the people he allowed to come into this country. That's not America first, and that's treason. He's not defending us against foreign and domestic enemies. He's overseas creating more wars so he can make more money for Lindsey first, and we're all tired of it.
Well, now apparently he wants us to go after Cuba and start, you know, I guess, invading Cuba? I mean, again, what is Lindsey Graham doing for the good people of South Carolina? And I'm curious to know what the sons and daughters of South Carolina think about their senator, their senior senator, wanting to send them over to fight for the freedom of the Iranians.
Yeah, well, they're seeing, again, who Lindsey really is. And when we publish and talk about his lifetime constitutional voting record of 57%, that's who he is. He's failing us. And so, you know, when employees fail and they don't do their jobs, and they're helping other organizations that we compete with, we fire them in our company. They don't get to stay. And Lindsey's showing his true colors, and he's living up to who he is. He's a traitor, and he's not a Republican. And he just moves to the right during an election season and acts like he is. But who he truly is the opposite. And everybody's seeing it full time, and God's letting him implode himself now. It's happening. And 2026 will be a awesome year in the elections. This Senate campaign that we have running against Lindsey Graham, people are ready. They're cheering us on. We're winning everywhere we present, and South Carolinians are done with Lindsey.
What is it going to take to oust Lindsey Graham? I mean, he is certainly entrenched. He's been representing you guys in Congress and the Senate since the 1990s. What is it going to take to boot him out of office?
Well, first of all, our people that support our campaign, we win this on our knees in prayer. Second, it involves getting activated and calling everybody you know and talking about it. If everybody takes their phone and calls their contact list and lets them know we have a viable candidate in Mark Lynch, and go to our website at Lynch for Senate, I'm committed to this campaign. When we jumped in and prayed about it and decided we would run to take out Lindsey Graham, it's a big uphill battle, people say, but he's just a man, you know. But we put $5 million of our own money into this campaign to seed it, to launch it, to let people know we're committed and let them see we have skin in the game. And I want to thank all of our contributors out there that are fighting with us, that are joining a winning campaign. We now have a viable candidate, a true American first, God-fearing, conservative Republican candidate that's willing to take this on because it's winnable, and we're going to win it. That's what's happening. It's happening everywhere we speak across the state, Todd.
Lynch.
And it's just awesome.
Yeah, lynchforsenate.com is the website, folks. That's Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H, for Senate.com. You know, Mark, before we let you go, of course, there's a lot of anger and frustration right now within, directed at the U.S. Senate, a Majority Leader John Thune. And I'm just curious, let's say you do get elected, how do you deal with a rogue leader like John Thune?
Expose it. Let people hear what's really going on, talking about it on Fox News and getting people to call in. And you know, I work for the people. Lindsey works for Lindsey. I come to represent South Carolinians in America, and I work for you, and we'll bring back God-fearing biblical first decision-making processes filtered with the Constitution to get rid of these people that are traitors in America. And it's just, America needs to stand up and say no to the evil. And it's our country, and it's time to take it back. And I'm asking all the patriots out there, help us take back what the enemy stole from us. And we can do it. Together we can do this.
Has Lindsey Graham embarrassed the state of South Carolina?
Every day. He's a total embarrassment. I hear that everywhere we go across the state. He's been an embarrassment for South Carolina for years.
All right. Well, Mark, we're going to leave it there. We'll certainly get you back on down the road. Again, lynchforsenate.com is the website. Mark, good luck to you out there, my friend.
Yes. Thank you, Todd. And thank you for what you're doing for this country.
All right. Mark Lynch, everybody, there in South Carolina, taking on Lindsey Graham. And we'll keep you updated on that battle. I will say this, the latest polling data came out, I think, in October, and it had Graham at well over 56%. Mark Lynch in second place. By the way, undecided at 20% was leading. I'm sure there will be some new polling data coming out, and I suspect Lynch will go up in those polls. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going right to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. And I am curious to hear from you. Is it time for us to get out of Iran? Do you want us to get out of Iran, or do you want us to completely demolish the regime and install new leadership? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So, right before the show, had my call. I do a weekly call with PhD Weight Loss and the great team there, and they're keeping me honest. Oh, I forgot to tell them about the Chick-fil-A sandwich yesterday, Dylan. Whoops, my bad.
Not the number seven.
No,
the number one.
I got the number one. Me I should have gotten the number seven.
Yeah. It's okay.
It is what it is. So anyway, all that to say, they want to know, all right, how are things are going? And it's funny because they're like, you need to have more fat in your diet. And I'm like, wait, what? I said, I thought that was the whole point of losing weight, but you got to have a little bit is what they were telling me. So they told me to start throwing in a little tab of butter in my scrambled eggs that I make every morning, along with the creme fraiche, by the way. That's how you make those soft, fluffy eggs.
Wow.
It's yeah,
secret ingredient there.
A little dollop of creme fraiche. Boom, you've got silky smooth eggs.
I'm going to try it.
It's a Bobby Flay thing. It's a Bobby Flay trick, and it works. It's great. Well, anyway, PhD weight loss, down 13 pounds, ladies and gentlemen. Haven't been able to do a lot of the extras. I'm a big walker, and the weather's been insanely bad here in the Mid-South. But let me say something here about PhD weight loss. One of the things they helped me understand is exactly what that one thing was for me that determines how quickly I start burning body fat and how to start losing weight. And I've never done that before, and so therefore every time I've gone on a diet, it doesn't work out all that great. But I'm telling you, I'm really excited about PhD weight loss. I've been on it for like 3.5 weeks now, and they've built a plan for me, and it's working. And then they tweak things here and there. By the way, they had me eating berries as a snack. It's not too bad, They said, no, don't do the cantaloupe, do the berries. So anyway, I want to encourage you to go check them out. And look, I know you guys do all the plans, cost you a lot of money. Well, the great thing here about PhD Weight Loss, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program. They're going to pay for your food, everything for 2 weeks. And if you start seeing results, let me tell you something, you're going to want to continue. That's exactly what I did. So you can go visit their website, myphdweightloss.com. That's myphdweightloss.com, and say Starnes. Well, I think you have to write Starnes on the website. Or you can give them a call, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Say Starnes, and they're going to give you that 2 free weeks in the program. And if you miss those numbers, just call us and we'll hook you up with all that intel. All right, let's go to the phones. Charles, North Carolina, wants to talk about war in Iran. Charles, go.
Hey, Todd. I'm very concerned about this war in Iran and its implications on how it's going to affect the country in the midterms. War has never worked out good for the party in power. I mean, you go back to 1964, start of the Vietnam War with the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. You look what that did to LBJ. You look how Vietnam affected Richard Nixon. You look how the Iraq War affected the Republican Party. You know, when John McCain still wanted to stay over there in 2008, he got beat by Barack Obama. And unless we get out of there, unless we just, I think, declare victory and get out of there and come home in the next couple of months, I think it is going to just totally tank the Republican Party and our chances in the midterms. I don't know. That's just my thinking, Todd.
There's just a lot of noise right now. And it's like, look, Trump is doing is actually working for the economy right now. Yeah, gas prices are going up, and we talked about all that. But I think I'm wondering, Charles, do we need to get back along onto messaging?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we and he needs to focus more on these, the domestic issues. I mean, like you mentioned, gas prices going up. If they stay up, pretty soon you're going to see the price of food going back up because it comes in on, diesel trucks. That's going to give the Democrats, something to talk about toward the midterms. But I mean, these foreign wars, Todd, this isn't what I voted for. This is not what I voted for. And I've talked to a lot of people the last couple of weeks. And, as much as we dislike the Ayatollah and Iran, and I certainly have a vivid memory going back to 1979 when they took over, our focus needs to be right here at home. We've got our own Islamic problem right here in the streets of our cities.
Yep.
And I tell you, people like Lindsey Graham, Todd, that guy, he has supported every war and that we've been in, I don't think there's a country he wouldn't want us to invade.
Charles, got to leave it there, my friend. We got to make a quick break here, but it's a great point you make. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I love this segment every week, every Wednesday, unless it's Thursday or unless I'm out of town. But every Wednesday, we have our good friends from Strategic Financial Partners with us, and they answer your financial questions. I know a lot of you folks are trying to figure out, all right, I need an investment strategy, or maybe I have a retirement account. I need to figure out what the heck to do with that retirement account. Our good friends Adam Martin and Chris Loftus at Strategic Financial Partners can help you out. By the way, write down our telephone number. So if you do have a question, you can give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. If you have a question for our finance guys, strategicfinancialpartners.com is the website. Adam, Chris, hope you guys are doing well today.
Trying to stay dry, Todd.
Yeah, the weather's a bit crazy today.
It's insane. And these tornadoes that came through like Indiana and Illinois.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Someone sent me, it looked like it had been snowing and it was all the hail.
I saw a video of the hail damage in Texas. I mean, these were baseball size hail dropping on this truck. And I was like, good Lord.
I felt bad for these people. There is some sense of irony, though. There was one town and they're like super environmentally friendly, the electric cars and all the whatnot. And they had these massive fields of solar panels destroyed.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's the hail just took them all out. So I guess they're back to the old-fashioned way.
Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
Kerosene lanterns. Exactly. All right, what are we talking about today, guys?
There's a particular scenario that I just witnessed recently that I thought it would be a good opportunity to speak to the listeners because they may be experiencing the same situation. Just the high-level cliff notes. This was a young couple who were investing money pretty regularly into a Roth IRA, and they just thought everything was going good. And then they said, I'd be open for a second opinion. And one of the things that we saw immediately was that the dollars that were coming out of their checking account going into their Roth was not being invested into the market. It was just sitting in cash. So what's the problem there? Well, you're paying an asset management fee to have somebody manage your assets. Why do you need to pay a fee for cash? You can accomplish the same thing in a checking account with no fee.
Wow. So how common is that, though, for like investors to contribute to an account like a Roth IRA, but they actually never invest the money?
I hate to say it, but we see it more often than I would care to admit. But that's the power of inspecting what you expect. You know, just because you have a good working relationship, and I would say that even for our clients, you know, always hold our feet to the fire, hold us accountable. That's why we have annual, quarterly, semi-annual reviews, is to sit down and reassure you that what you're doing is working. And if there's not something that's working, we try to fix it in those meetings.
You know, that's where it comes in with the monitoring and updating your situation regularly. This can't be a set it and forget it situation.
So when you look at the potential, you know, long-term consequences, I mean, we're talking about retirement contributions. They're just sitting in cash and it's not being invested. What does that look like long term?
So the one thing that we always try to tell our clients is that why do we invest? And it's to outpace inflation. Cash is not going to outpace inflation. So if you're just contributing and it's sitting in a cash position, you run a very big risk of not having enough money to live in your retirement years.
I guess my question would be, and again, I never would have thought about what you just said. I just would have assumed. So what does somebody like me need to do? You know, if I've got a company that's investing for me, how do I need to make sure that they're actually investing that money?
Well, I mean, we have what's called our Investor 360, which is our client portal application that they can, at any time they want, log in and look at their accounts. And that shows them what they're paying in fees. That shows them how they're allocated in the market. So I would say just periodically hop on whatever platform you may have and just inspect what you expect. You know, look at it and say, is my money being invested? Am I comfortable with this rate of return? Do I want to make some changes? Has your risk changed? But then that's when you set an appointment with your advisor and you tell them what's concerning to you so that we can make a pivot and get you back to feeling comfortable.
And there's something else, actually. So there was a standard life study that was done recently amongst the baby boomer generation. And this kind of speaks to, you know, being on top of and knowing what you have and what it's doing for you. I mean, Todd, would you believe that over 52% of baby boomers don't know how much they have in their pension savings? And that's just ridiculous at the end of the day. And that's not necessarily on them, but that's on the fact that some of those people don't have an advisor, or the advisors they do work with, they're just letting it run. They just don't. They don't have those regular updates. They don't have those regular check-ins. And it's important that they know what they have and how they have it so that they can plan adequately for their future.
How often should you actually check in?
I would say at least 2 times a year. Semi-annual is a good rule of thumb, in my opinion. That way, it's not just a, hey, I forgot what we talked about a year ago. It's a 6 months. It's like, hey, last time we met, we talked about doing this. And that gives me, as the advisor, an opportunity to measure your progress. I can say, hey, we talked about this 6 months ago. Where are we at today? And that helps me say, well, we have bigger issues because we haven't prioritized this, and it needs to be a priority.
Anna Martin and Chris Loftus are joining us from Strategic Financial Partners. StrategicFinancialPartners.com is their website. And if you have a question, give us a call, 901-260-5926. Now, Adam, you mentioned that in this case study that they were actually paying an advisory fee. And I'm wondering, as far as those fees, what kinds of questions should investors be asking to understand what they're paying for and what they're getting for that?
So I would just say, give me a fee breakdown. Every annual meeting that we're held by compliance to have, we have to discuss the fees. What are you paying for? And are you okay with the services that you've gotten from what you paid in the way of fees? It's very easy for our clients to just kind of disregard that, because it's not like that they have to write us a physical check for those fees. Those are usually deducted from the account. So it's out of sight, out of mind. And that's why it's our responsibility to bring that up in our meetings, because those questions typically don't get asked by the clients. They just want to know, am I doing okay? Do I need to make any changes? So that's why you should be asking these questions, because in this particular scenario, you're paying for something that you're not getting.
I have to imagine, though, with a lot of families, there, you know, it's sort of a generational thing where, you know, grandma and grandpa use the same local advisor, mm-hmm. mom and dad use the local advisor because grandma and grandpa used it, and then The kids are using the same one. Is there anything wrong with that, or should, you know, is there anything wrong with maybe getting a second opinion on their financial plan?
Well, I would first start by saying your financial plan is yours. So however you want to handle that, that's the way you should approach it. If you feel more comfortable talking to somebody that's closer in age, that has the same walk of life, and you feel like you're getting better service, then make that change. But what I see most of the time with generational advisor planning is that they get the kids or the grandkids in and they have one conversation and then they don't talk to them ever again, you know, or they spend a long time in between meetings before they get back in and ask them what's changed or what's concerning. So for this particular situation, it was a generational planning. The gentleman had an advisor that his dad and mom used, and he just thought, hey, everything is good because I trust the man. He's helping my parents. And another thing that he brought up was when we showed him he was paying for something he wasn't getting, he was like, well, I didn't think my account was big enough. And that really hurts me. I hate hearing that because it doesn't matter where you start. It's the end game of where we're going. You will eventually have enough assets if it's invested right for it to be worth this time, and that shouldn't be a concern to that advisor at all. He's supposed to do what he's supposed to do.
And I think a lot of that comes back again to something you said. It's all about reviewing your finances. You've got to do those sort of like, I guess, maybe a health and wellness check.
I mean, health and wellness is the best way to put it. I mean, if your doctor told you you had a terminal illness, what's the next thing you're going to go do? Get a second opinion, right? So look at your finances the same way.
Get a funeral plot. But yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not all doom and gloom. Something to add to Adam's point. So just to give another statistic here. So only about, you know, let's say there's a bunch of those people who are have that mindset, oh, I don't have a big enough account. Well, only about 32% of Gen Z actually work with a financial advisor. That is
really?
An actual statistic. Exactly. And only about 26% of Americans overall have a financial advisor, period. The New York Post did that survey. And so that's just telling us that not because, oh, there's not enough people out there who have, you know, have the funds or have the current financial status. No. That tells us there is a huge service gap when it comes to people who are getting quality, sound advice and how to make plans for that next step and that next season.
You know, it's just as an aside here, we've got a guy at Newsmax who is a big Social Security expert, and he said there are some things you may not even know about that could help you get even more Social Security money. And again, it's a matter of just educating yourself. And to your point, that's why you need a financial advisor to show you and to educate you about the things that you may be completely clueless about.
And this is our profession. This is what I've spent the last 10 years of my life trying to perfect, is being able to answer those types of questions. Social Security is a huge topic that we talk a lot about. You know, there's scenarios where we'll help guide a client and say, did you know you could get your spouse's Social Security benefit if it's a predeceased situation, which they didn't realize they could? Or we look at it and say, hey, you qualify for A, B, and C based on your situation. But that's what we do, is that we look at how things change in the laws. We are held to doing continuing education and make sure that we're staying current. And we want to make sure that when you leave our office, you're leaving better than we found you.
And if you have a financial question you want to ask on air or off air, the guys will be happy to call you back. Give us a holler, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. The website, again, strategicfinancialpartners.com. Adam, say, you know, you're checking out your finances. You're doing your review twice a year. What are key areas beyond just the investments that we should be evaluating?
So I'm a comprehensive financial planning advisor. I'm not just an asset manager. So what I do is that I look at your holistic picture. And so we will talk about investing money in the market, but then I'm also going to talk about your risk mitigation. So obviously we want to leave a legacy for our families, and some people do better than others in saving dollars and investing money. But what are some areas that I can still accomplish those legacy planning goals? Well, that's typically in insurance, or we do it in the way of protecting your income, so disability income. Or the biggest one right now that a lot of people aren't planning for that I'm having conversations around is long-term care planning, because modern medicine's keeping us around longer. Although we're living longer doesn't mean that our quality of life is better. we may have to have an assisted living person come into the house, or we may need to go to an assisted living facility. Those dollars that are that cost has a detrimental effect on portfolios, and I want to be proactive in getting out in front of that. So that's an insurance solve. It's not just investment management.
Mm. I never would have thought about that, and especially, you know, here lately, you know, you're starting to look ahead. You know, what is that life? What does life look like 15, 20, 30 years down the road? And someone told me this, oh, you ought to look into one of these retirement places. And I'm like, are you – what? I said, I'm not ready to go there just yet. And one of the downsides is that, you know, for a guy, you're in your 50s, and you show up for breakfast every morning, it's like, where's Harry? Well, he died last night. You know, it's like I'm not sure I'm ready for that every single day. But again, it's when I was looking at, you know, I went over there to look at the place, and it was really amazing, and it's pretty state-of-the-art. But then you start looking at all of the expenses, and you're like, holy cow, you've got to start preparing now for that time when it's, you know, you've got to move into your forever home.
And tying it all back together, why you should be holding your advisor's feet to the fire and making sure that your dollars are invested properly is that expense that you just mentioned, that's part of what we're planning for. So if we aren't competitively earning a good rate of return in the years proactively planning for a long-term care situation, then we're going to get hit with a knee-jerk reaction later that could be detrimental to the success of your retirement.
You know, Todd, something that I think, Adam, and I would like to ask your listeners is a simple question of who do you want to call the shots when it comes down to your golden years, right? Do you want to be calling the shots, or do you want that decision to be forced on you by your children? Do you want them to create the plan because of something that's convenient for them or what makes sense for them? At the end of the day, I think 99% of your listeners will probably say, oh, I want to be in control of that. I want to make that decision because I know what I need. That goes into long-term care planning. That is the emphasis of this conversation, is making sure that you're making decisions now so you can give yourself the opportunity to make those same decisions later.
It's just great guidance and advice. And look, in our own family life, my grandparents completely prepared. They were like, we do not want you to do anything. You know, we're going to take care of it. My parents, they were the exact opposite of that, you know, and it puts a lot on the kids. Mm-hmm, and so I understand why my grandparents did what they did. So again, this is all about preparing so that you and your families can be ready as you get older. And again, folks, the website address, strategicfinancialpartners.com, that's strategicfinancialpartners.com. Adam, I want you and Chris to give out your personal telephone number. So, guys, if you have a question, you can reach out to the fellas.
Yeah, I'm Adam. My number is 901-260-2438.
And this is Chris Loftus, and my number is 901-657-3324.
All right, fellas, great advice as always. StrategicFinancialPartners.com. Go check out their website, everybody. And we want to make sure that your money is protected and that you are well prepared for the years ahead. Guys, good to see you.
Good seeing you.
All right, got to take a break, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Coming up tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We have a really packed house of guests. Congressman Scott Desjardins is going to be joining us. Also, General John Tykert will be along to weigh in on the very latest. We're going to have a left versus right panel. Ashwani Jain and Rich Valdez will be with us. And also, we'll have a great political panel with Joe Thomas from our great affiliate there in Virginia, WTON. That's going to be fun. You'll be able to watch Joe on TV. And Dalton Glasscock, the CEO of Stearns Media Group, also the vice mayor of Wichita, Kansas. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we certainly hope that you will watch us 5 o'clock Eastern tomorrow on the show. Open line. No, it's not Friday. It's just Wednesday, isn't it, Dylan? Jeez, Alou.
Don't remind me that it's not almost Friday. It's terrible.
It's one of these weeks. It's these thunderstorms and all this severe weather. I miss the sunshine.
It messes with your brain.
It does. Or it could be whatever we sprayed in the building.
Definitely.
To take out the ladybugs.
Definitely part of it.
I think now they're just angry at us.
Yeah. They attack us by multiplying, actually.
It's terrible.
They have babies.
They're like rabbits. Yeah. Jeez, Alou. Anyway, so we'll have more conversations. Open Line Friday is on Friday, so we've got one more day to get there. Also, just a reminder, everybody, we would love for you to get a pre-ordered copy of my brand new book. It is called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. It's going to be a fun read, but it's an important read as well, because we have a lot of work to do if we're going to undo the damage the Democrats and the Republicans have done to this country. And, you know, we had one of the previous callers talking about what is the solution here, because it seems like both parties are against us. Well, maybe it's time for us to rethink all of that. And maybe, just maybe, we ought to start electing some more independents, or is it time for another political party? We'll get into that conversation tomorrow. But we talk about those issues in my new book called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. This is a must read for every freedom loving patriot as we march toward the midterm elections. You can pre-order a copy, Barnes and Noble, Books a Million, Amazon, wherever you buy your books. You can pre-order a copy. All right. It's been a great show, everybody. Great calls, great conversation. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. Get out there and you be safe, America.